directly engage and on this important policy discussion. As many of you know, there is tremendous benefits that currently flow from the RFS, including diversifying our nation's energy portfolio and reducing our reliance on overseas oil, giving consumers lower cost choices at the fuel pump, and raising family incomes and driving growth in rural America. Today, we must stand together and let the policymakers in Washington, D.C. hear our collective voices. Today, we must stand strong in taking the next, not letting them take a step backward on the RFS. That is absolutely unacceptable. We should be continually moving forward to grow the production and the use of ethanol, biodiesel, and cellulosic biofuels. Today, we have an opportunity to share the facts and address the misconceptions related to the renewable fuel standard. We cannot afford to have misunderstandings or muddled policies when it comes to the RFS. As citizens who have seen firsthand the positive impacts that the RFS has on rural America, we believe we have an obligation to educate others. We need to let people know that the ethanol industry supports more than 383,000 jobs, and the biodiesel industry supports 62,000 jobs. This means that more than 445,000 Americans depend on these good-paying jobs and careers to support their families. We need to let people know that this one proposed rule by the EPA would directly jeopardize an estimated 37,400 ethanol jobs and 7,500 biodiesel industry jobs. That one proposed rule would place an unnecessary hardship on families throughout rural America. These are important jobs that cannot be lost, and we are here to continue our fight to preserve them. Iowans know that since Governor Branstad and I were sworn into office, our focus has been on revitalizing our economy, creating good jobs, and growing family incomes. When we came into office, unemployment was at 6.1%, and today, unemployment is at 4.4%, and we are proud of the careers that have been established through record employment. We have worked hard to recruit companies to locate and invest in Iowa, and we've seen more than $7.5 billion of investment, private investment in Iowa since taking office. Iowa is working, and many of these projects are directly related to Iowa's leadership in renewable fuels and agriculture, such as CJ BioAmerica, which is co-locating at the Cargill facility in Fort Dodge, and the Valent Bioscience facility in Osage. And what's so exciting to me are these investments are happening all over the state of Iowa, in large and small counties, both rural and urban. The EPA's proposal could have a very negative impact on families and communities throughout the United States. And here are just a few examples. Farmers and individuals involved in agricultural production and the biofuels industry could take a direct hit on family incomes. Consumers who prefer to choose lower-cost biofuels over petroleum-based products will not be able to stretch family incomes. Today, gasoline in Des Moines is selling for $3.35 a gallon. E10 is 30 cents lower at $3.05, and E85 is selling at $2.49. Communities from North Dakota to Nebraska, from Iowa to Indiana, have experienced growth and revitalization thanks in part to a thriving agriculture sector. That's why we believe that future growth would be jeopardized by the current EPA proposal. So let's talk about a few of those communities. In southeast Iowa, there's an ethanol facility in West Burlington that can annually produce 110 million gallons of fuel and currently employs 46 individuals. In Emmitsburg and Nevada, there are two cellulosic ethanol plants that will soon begin production. These plants will be key innovators in the biofuels industry and will be key employers in those communities. Algona has a biodiesel facility that can produce up to 60 million gallons of fuel each year, and that facility provides good-paying jobs for 37 Iowans. These are real people, real plants, and real communities who are counting on us to keep rural America strong. That's why our goal today is to provide you with an opportunity to amplify the voices of these workers, their families, and their communities, and to ensure that they will not be negatively impacted by this EPA proposal. This forum will also provide individuals and organizations with updated information so that the EPA can better make their decision and refine their proposal. If you haven't done so yet, we would like to encourage all interested citizens across the Midwest to submit official comments to the EPA before the January 28th deadline, again, so we can ensure that your voices are being heard in Washington, D.C. Today, you will hear from a variety of interested citizens about the importance of the RFS, from farmers, from agriculture producers, to employees at renewable fuel production facilities. There will be a series of 30-minute panels throughout the day, and I am looking forward to joining the other senior leaders in hosting these extremely important discussions. We are extremely proud and pleased with the bipartisan engagement on this issue throughout the Midwest. Today, we are joined by key agricultural leaders from the Midwest, including five secretaries of agriculture, and we are very pleased to be joined by the Lieutenant Governor Sue Ellis-Brinman from Indiana, who is actively participating in this important hearing. Thank you all again for your participation today. We really appreciate it, and I believe together we are going to get this proposal revised. So we're in for a great day. You've got great speakers, and I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to hear from each and every one of you.